Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Adore.fm, and ChiroRadio.com, and wherever else podcasts are available. Let's get started with the show. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 308 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show planned for you this week. Jay Clancy, singer-songwriter for the band Sloucher, the local Seattle band. They're kind of new out here, and they've got this amazing album that came out back in July on Swoon Records called Certainty, and it is wonderful, and I can't wait for you guys to hear some of this and also hear this wonderful conversation where I take this, man, this is a ride, let me tell you. This conversation is all over the place, and it's my fault. My fault. Don't blame Jay. Blame me. I was bit into my cups when Jay got here, and this conversation is Tangent City. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It's still very entertaining, right? You're gonna find out about some new music, find out about a wonderful person that's making it. You can't get much better than that, right? Did I just say better than that? No, I meant better. I've got this email that I'd like to read. We've got a ton of emails. You guys are making it very, very hard to quit this podcast because apparently I am not only making some people angry, but I'm also making some people very sad by ending this show in the early weeks of October. So I want to read this. I want to read this one. This one kind of got to me here. This is from listener Amy, all the way over in Thailand. Yeah, that's right, Thailand. The far corners of the earth is where this show reaches. Man, it's pretty cool, pretty impressive. I'm very, very proud. Very proud of this product that we've been putting out for 6 years. Let's see. Amy titles her email "Tears." I am currently listening to episode 307 and your announcement that Air Raid will soon be going away. I am kind of mad at you for this, but I understand the reasons for retiring the show. I will miss this program so much. I think a lot of your listeners would agree that you have helped us, even if you didn't realize it, through some pretty tough times. From the listener's perspective, you and your show have been there for me for the last 4 years through some pretty rough times. I'm tearing up while I write this to you, Aaron. This makes me very sad. But again, I get why you have to do it. I forgive you, and I hope that you and your family are okay. Can you say yet what the new show will be? Thank you for being one of the steady rocks in my life for the last 4 years. Sincerely, Amy. Oh, man. That is, that's awesome. Amy, I hope you're happy. You have made me tear up now. That is extremely sweet and wonderful. And we have gotten so many emails like this in the last week, that it's just so great. Like we get the numbers for the show. We see how many people listen and stuff like that. But over the years, you know, we haven't had a lot of, you know, listener involvement. And it's been really cool to get all these emails from you guys and hear about what your experiences have been while you've been listening to the show for many years. And it's I'm honored, and it's been an absolute pleasure doing it for you. So thank you. And thank you, Amy, for sending in that email. If you would like to email me, we're going to get to more of these next week as well, these emails, and read some. Also, there's been a couple questions that have come in from listeners as well that wanted to get something answered that they've always wondered. So maybe we'll do that as well. So if you have any questions, or if you'd like to send me off with some hate mail, you can email me at aaron@air-raid.net. Okay, that's air-raid.net. But thank you again, Amy. That is extremely sweet. Okay, I think I am ready to get off the mic and do a little crying, and we'll bring you this chat with Jay Clancy of the band Sloucher. Sloucher came to my attention. They were getting a lot of write-ups here in Seattle for things like the Seattle Weekly and the Stranger, these weekly magazines that come out. Free newspapers that come out. And I had read a bunch about them. I checked them out, and I just absolutely fell in love with the sound, fell in love with this record Certainty that came out in July. And I think you will too. It's a wonderful mix of some of my favorite styles of music. And I tell Jay this in the beginning of the show too, is that it's kind of a mix of like Heat Miser, one of Elliott Smith's first bands, Sunny Day Real Estate, and Sebado. There's a wonderful mix of like the fuzzy kind of grungy garage rock mixed with a little bit of country twang in there, and kind of doubled vocals like Elliott Smith, and it just works, man. Just works awesome. And Jay is also in a bunch of other great bands, some of which have been on this here program. So we'll find out more about that as well. Okay, let's go with our first musical break. This song is the title track off of the album Certainty. And let's see, on Swoon Records. Oh, you know what? I didn't give the website. We'll do that at the end. We'll do that at the end of the show, and also have that posted on our website at air-raid.net if you'd like to find out more about Sloucher. Okay. This one's called Certainty by Sloucher off of the album of the same name. And we'll be back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears when we return with Jay Clancy. Stay with us.
But I'm in my bed. When she's back with me, I'm gonna. right after my truck overheated, they played my song on KEXP, and that made me feel a lot better about life. Made me stoked. I was pissed, and then I was automatically stoked and happy.
It does a lot for you, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It feels good.
That's a pretty cool thing, man.
Yeah.
Hearing it on the radio. I never got to do that when I was playing music.
It's special.
Yeah.
It's happened sort of before with recordings that I've played drums on or been a part of.
Uh-huh.
But now it's, you know, my project.
Yeah.
The real deal.
Yeah.
And they're digging it. They're, you know, they're playing it during the daytime, which is...
Well, it's a great fucking record.
Thank you.
Man. I was just thinking, because I was listening to it on my way home today, and I was like, this is the perfect mix of, like, Sunny Day Real Estate, Sebado, and what was the third band that I was thinking of? It was Sunny Day, Sebado, and...
Another band that starts with S?
Maybe. oh, God, what was I thinking about? Well, it was the perfect mix of Sunny Day and Sebado. That's for damn sure.
Well,
or like a little bit of like a Heat Miser.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, you got the Elliott Smith tattoo. All right. Yeah, man.
I went for it. You know, that's a big part of my musical life is Elliott Smith and related
right
artists.
On.
Yeah.
You know, I don't talk to a lot of people who know of Heat Miser.
Yeah.
And that was such a great band. Like, people are really, really need to, like, look into that.
It was... I loved discovering Heat Miser because it was such a stark contrast to Elliott's solo stuff.
Yeah.
But you can still hear him.
And oh, for sure.
He's, like, going for it and actually rocking out.
Uh-huh.
And I've read in interviews that kind of embarrassed him. Like, he was sort of embarrassed about Heat Miser.
Really?
Because he sounded like he thought he sounded like a bro or something when he sang.
Yeah,
he was singing super loud.
Uh huh.
But I think it's great. I think Heat Miser is fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Some of their stuff I didn't like. It did actually. It's funny you brought that up because some of their songs did kind of sound a little bro-y to me.
Yeah. No, for sure, but I can overlook it, you know?
Yeah, oh, totally, man. It's Elliott Smith. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where are you from, man?
I'm from Tacoma, Washington.
Originally, born and raised.
Born in Tacoma, yeah. I spent the first 21 years of my life there and made the big move 60 miles north to Seattle.
Ooh.
Had to get out. Had to do something else. Got out of food service. Got into carpentry and started fronting my own band.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Yeah.
And you're a multi-instrumentalist as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I started playing the drums when I was about 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into that? Were your parents like into music, or was it just something that you kind of glommed onto?
My parents aren't musicians, but they're into music.
Yeah.
They like good music. So I grew up listening to good music, and I think around the time I was 4 or 5, I, you know, expressed interest in playing the drums. I just thought it looked like a lot of fun, and they got me this toy, like, plastic drum kit that I messed around on
like
for a couple
Muppets
years.
Like the Muppets kind of drum set, where it's just like a, it's literally like a piece of tin, for the hi-hats and everything like that.
I'm pretty sure it was just 5 plastic pads. It was purple.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you could play along to beats and stuff. So that was cool. I had that for a couple years. And then my friend Jack, who I grew up with, who is the drummer of Sloucher, got a drum kit and started taking drum lessons. And we would hang out like every weekend. And I went over to his place with my parents and he had this drum kit. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I started playing, and I think I played like that drum beat, you know, just a standard rock beat.
Yeah.
And my parents heard me, and they were like, oh, it sounds kind of good. Maybe we should sign him up for lessons with Jack.
Let's get him a non-plastic drum set.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your parents are great.
Yeah. Shout out to my parents for being cool and supportive.
What kind of music was being played in the home? Like, what were you grown up on? Who were you raised with?
The Beatles.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin. My dad was kind of into, like, disco, which I wasn't really down with. But besides that, he listened to good stuff. You know? My mom is, like, super into Joni Mitchell. It took me a while to, like, get hip to that.
I had that mom.
Yeah. I inherited her Joni Mitchell collection, and I think it was 14 or 15.
You know, not that bad.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. There's some gems in there, man.
There's some really good stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something I put on very often, but, you know, I feel lucky to have my mom's Joni Mitchell records, for sure.
My problem with my mom's musical taste was that she would find something that she would like, and then she would just lock into it. And so it was like, it could have been Joni Mitchell. Well, there actually was a Joni Mitchell album, but it was like one of the later ones that wasn't, I don't know, wasn't very good. But she would lock into things like Eric Clapton Unplugged or like 10,000 Maniacs Unplugged. She went through a whole Unplugged phase, right? The one that I did appreciate was Genesis. That was pretty good. But she would just lock into one album and she would listen to that album for years. Like, that's the only thing she would listen to. She would just put on one album and then just like listen to it over and over and over and over again. And it was just, my musical upbringing was coupled with like Beatles, Beach Boys from my dad, and then just listening to Michael Bolton like over and over and over again. It's like, every
Mom,
Sunday,
put on something else, man.
yeah. It was almost like torture.
Yeah.
It's like waterboarding. It's like worse than waterboarding.
My parents could have done better with the Christmas albums that they chose to play.
A lot of Mannheim Steamroller.
I can't remember what they had. It was like some compilation record that they played every year. And the only thing I got out of it was that Hanson totally rocks.
Wait, like, what?
There was a Hanson Christmas song on there.
Okay, so it was like a compilation?
Yeah, it was a bunch of different artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything was garbage except for the Hanson song.
How old are you?
24.
You're 24? Okay, so I'm a bit older. So, like, I bought the New Kids on the Block Christmas album. Like, I had that.
Nice.
I'll cop to it. I had that album. I didn't buy it myself, but yeah, you know, I was into it. They had the Mommy Kissing Santa Claus song on there and everything, you know? And wow. I was just, you know, I still remember to this day the cover art of the New Kids on the Block Christmas album. It was all of them, a couple of them with their shirts off in Santa's sleigh.
Yes.
Super hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should go get a copy of that.
I think you should. You should get it on vinyl. It's probably a reissue. You can buy it at Target.
No, man, I want the first pressing.
130 gram. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, don't worry about the Hanson stuff.
I love Hanson. It was
still?
It was the first CD I ever had was Hanson.
That was the first album you ever owned.
Yeah, I was like down with Mbop. I loved that jam.
Yeah.
So it was, I think Hanson was my first CD, and then shortly thereafter, it was Smash Mouth.
Ooh.
Sugar Ray.
Whoa, dude.
And then it was Blink-182, and that was like a pivotal moment for me.
It kind of steered you in the right direction just a little bit.
I think so. Even though people hate on Blink-182, I think it definitely steered me in the right direction.
See, I think I was a little bit like at my age, like I missed the Blink-182 train a little bit. Like if I was a bit younger, I totally would have been into that band because I was into Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like Green Day. Dookie was a great album in my opinion, and but Blink-182 came a little bit late for me.
My first show, actually, my first rock show was Blink-182, Green Day, and Jimmy Eat World at the Tacoma Dome.
No shit.
It was a great show, except Blink-182 sounded horrible.
Yeah?
Yeah, Green Day, like, totally killed them.
Who opened?
Jimmy Eat World.
Jimmy Eat World?
They were great, too.
Yeah.
I still love that band shamelessly. Love them.
What's their big song that they had? What was the big hit? I can't remember. How's that go?
If you're listening.
Yes. Oh. I actually like that song.
Great song.
Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah. So what was it like going to that first show, man? Like big stadium.
Well,
rock show.
I was stoked. I think I was 8 and I went with my parents. Mm-hmm. Me and my parents were in the seats and my 2 older brothers were in the pit with their high school girlfriends or whatever.
Yeah.
And the moment that I always think of from that show is during Green Day's set, Billy Joe Armstrong asked the entire crowd to flip him off. And I was down and I put my middle finger in the air. I was like, yeah, dude. And then I looked over and my mom was just like giving me the death glare, you know? It's like, oh, sorry, mom.
At 8 years old.
This is my scene, mom.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You started to rebel at 8 years old.
I was lucky being the youngest, so mm-hmm. my brothers got to fuck everything else up before I did. Yeah. So then when I started, you know, being bad, it, like, wasn't a huge deal.
Yeah. How much older are your brothers?
I'm 24. My middle brother is 27, I hope. And my oldest brother just turned 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did they influence your musical tastes at all? Or were they completely different?
No, they were kind of into the same stuff. We were all super down with Blink-182.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started playing drums, my brother wanted to play guitar. And so naturally, my oldest brother played bass. And we had this little, like, setup in our basement, and we would, like, learn Blink-182 songs.
Really?
Cover them
together.
You play
music with your brothers?
Yeah, my first band was actually called Clanson, because my last name's Clancy.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of a rip on Hanson, and even though I secretly love them. Well, I guess it's not a secret anymore, because I'm telling you on your
podcast.
You
just told the world, man.
But yeah, we played a couple of high school talent shows.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that my first show was a high school talent show with my 2 older brothers covering Blink-182.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
We have the video footage to prove it.
Oh, my God. Do you ever go back and watch that?
Not for a while. I think the last time I watched that stuff was 10 years ago.
Please tell me you were just, like, cringing.
Oh, totally.
Clenched up. Like, whenever I see a video of myself as a kid, like, whether it be, like, you know, something my parents were making or videotaping, and or it was something that me and my friends would, like, set up of, you know, the giant home recorder, you know, thing.
The VHS cam.
Yeah. You know, in the bedroom, and then, like, I remember one specifically, me and my friend Kelly Dickerson having a dance party to Sonic Youth in my bedroom with, like, just Christmas lights going and stuff.
And you filmed it.
And we filmed it. And it is the most embarrassing fucking thing in the world. And in high school, somebody found that videotape, and it made the rounds through our friend group. Oh. And was just, we were kind of the laughing stock for a little while. And somebody still has it to this day. I just got an email from an old dear friend of mine that still holds that tape over my head.
That's awesome. Well, at least it was Sonic Youth, which is like...
Right.
You get the cool...
Yeah, it wasn't Hanson.
Yeah, you know, you get some indie cred like Sonic Youth, but Hanson's just, that's unacceptable.
Every time I see this thing, man, I am just like I can't, like, yeah, just thinking about it, like, makes my hair stand up on end, you know?
Yeah. We've got some Guitar Center drum off videos from when I was like 10. And those are pretty hard to watch.
So you really got into this as a pretty young kid. Like, were you good?
I was pretty good.
Yeah?
I was pretty good for being a little kid. And I think that my age, like, added to that. You mm-hmm. know, I was, like, competing. Like, with the Guitar Center drum off, Jack, the drummer of Sloucher, and I would do those together.
No shit.
Back in the day.
So what was it for? It was, like, a contest? To win something?
Yeah, so you start local, so we did the drum off contest at the Tacoma Guitar Center,
mm-hmm.
and then you qualify for the second round, you do another round in Tacoma, And then if you win that, you go to Seattle. And then if you win Seattle, you go to Hollywood, which is the finals.
Whoa.
So, but Jack and I each placed in the top three at the like local finals.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty cool.
That's impressive,
being
man.
A little kid. And
yeah. How old were you at that time?
I think I was 10 and Jack was like 12.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. We should put the videos on YouTube. So
I think you should. I think you should put it on your Sloucher Facebook page. Get a lot of likes.
Yeah, I worked in a little like John Bonham tribute into mm-hmm. my drum solo.
Oh yeah.
And our drum teacher was actually the manager at Guitar Center at the time, and he's like sitting on the sidelines laughing and clapping. So that's, you know, even though it's a little embarrassing to go back and watch those videos, I think the feeling of embarrassment comes from how nervous we were doing it, and just like remembering that feeling. Like you have to play drums really well now for 5 minutes in front of a bunch of 45-year-olds you're competing against. you know, and it turned out okay. I think it was a good experience.
That's rad, man. I remember going to, like, they used to have this thing, I don't know if they still do it, it's called the National Guitar Workshop. And it was just like this kind of roving, like, almost like a week-long camp that you could go to with other guitar players and, like, take classes and do workshops on, like, you know, learning scales and learning different styles and things like that. Of that nature, and then they would all put you, like, group you into, like, these different bands, and you would play together at the end of this camp, this, like, week-long camp. And the one that I did was at the UW, and I must have been, like, I don't know, 15 or something like that, and you're staying in the dorms, and just, like, meeting all these people, and there were, like, super old dudes down to, like, super young kids, you know, that were all there all together, like learning about guitar and learning different scales. And like, I was in the remedial class at the age of 15, basically, cause I was too afraid to go up higher, you know, even though I was like, I was kind of learning stuff that I already knew. But I just remember at the end of that thing, I was in the remedial class with a bunch of like 10-year-olds and stuff, and like 9 and 8-year-olds and stuff. And they completely showed me up, completely showed me up. That was the first, I think that was the first show that I actually ever played, like in front of people. And it was the most embarrassing thing ever. This goes back to like the whole videotape thing. Like I just think about that, hope to God that there's no videotape of that somewhere.
Mm.
But, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Well, pretty bad. I feel that way now when I go to the skate park and there's like 8-year-old kids just annihilating, and I can, you know, barely even make it around the bowl.
Oh my God.
What am I doing?
I can't even stand up on a skateboard, man. You just feel lucky.
Yeah.
You just feel lucky.
I do.
You ever broken any bones?
I've broken both of my arms.
Of course.
And I have some knee issues. I dislocated my knee a couple years ago.
Holy shit.
In the middle of a show, actually.
Yeah.
And I was playing guitar at this house party in Tacoma, and I had like 2 beers. I wasn't super drunk, but I was doing like the Joey Ramone rock stance thing.
So legs spread wide
as far as I could go.
Yeah.
I was really feeling the music, and and I like pivoted weird, and my kneecap like slid down into my leg.
What?
I fell into the crowd, and the band kept playing because they thought I was just like in party mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I managed to get my guitar out of the way. And right when I hit the ground, I was like, oh my God, dude, I just broke my leg. It was like the most painful thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
So I'm on the ground screaming, and the band is still playing. And my buddy's older brother picks me up, and he's like, dude, what's going on? And my leg was all mangled, and like naturally, instinctually, I just grabbed my kneecap and popped it back into place.
Uh-huh.
And then like the pain was gone. I was fine. I could walk.
And it instantly went away.
Yeah. I was like, dude, that was so weird. And they're like, are you okay? And these people crowded around me. I was like, let's just finish the set. I'm going to go back to my mom's house and relax. So we finished the set. I was like leaning on my guitar amp, just like,
uh-huh,
wondering what the hell just happened, and
kind of playing it safe too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then by the end of the set, my knee was like three times the size it usually is, and
oh, I'm sure.
Hopped in my truck, drove home with my left foot, and woke my mom up, and I was like, "Mom, something bad just happened." And then I couldn't walk for 2 weeks, and I had to do physical therapy and the whole thing. So,
oh my God, man!
And it still weighs heavily on my mind. Like I have to be pretty careful now. Now that the path has been broken, you know.
Really? So that's what the doctor said. Like you can't. You got to be careful with this leg for the rest of your life.
I have to make sure that my legs are strong.
Uh huh.
And I just have to take my time and like be careful.
Holy
especially
shit.
Loading gear up flights of stairs is
oh yeah
scary
oh
sometimes.
Yeah totally man. Oh my God.
But
yeah,
it's all
right. Look at that. Yeah. See that amp right there?
Yeah.
I mean, times I've lugged that up a flight of stairs. Sucks.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about
terrible.
It.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing.
Well, on the Ebu tour that I just did, we had a Varellen Meat Smoke bass amp.
Uh-huh.
And that thing was a beast.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And kind of brought, you know, reaffirmed my fear of loading heavy stuff upstairs.
Yeah, so. Man.
But I made it. I'm still here.
Yeah. Good job, Jay.
Thank you.
Good job. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, man. You're making it through. You're making it through. So back to like playing these shows as like a young kid, were you ever nervous like getting up off the stage, or was it kind of more of a natural thing for you?
I still get nervous, but I mean, it's like the typical, you know, thing that everybody says, like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm so nervous. And then you get up there and it's like fine. And
yeah.
And time slows down and you feel cool and you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like music is something that you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, totally. I would love to do it all the time if I could. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the dream.
It's the dream. Yeah. It's the dream I've had since I was a little kid, and it's cool. Like, it's a test of patience and commitment. And I think that the people who, you know, most of the time the people who make it through or, you know, quote, make it, just spend enough time doing it and it happens.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you'll ever get there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. I cross my fingers all the time.
Well, this album that we're about to hear again is definitely a step in the right direction. Gotta say, man.
Thank you.
It is really, really good. So let's go to our second. Yeah, you're welcome. Let's go to our second musical break. We're featuring songs off of the album Certainty that came out in July, right? July 15th?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Yeah. On Swoon Records, correct?
Swoon Records, yeah. Tacoma, Washington.
Awesome. Awesome. Keeping it local.
Hell yeah.
I like it. I like it. By the band Sloucher, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. With special guest this week, Jay of the band Sloucher. All right, be back in a moment.
Around.
nerves were never a thing for you then, huh? Even like getting up and playing in front of like older dudes at these like drum competitions and stuff like that, like that didn't make you nervous?
It definitely made me nervous.
That kind of shit would frighten the fuck out of me.
Yeah. No, it was scary for sure.
Yeah.
I think honestly the most nervous that I've ever been was before I started Sloucher, and I was playing these songs like solo acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
I played a couple times at this little cafe in Snoqualmie called the Black Dog with some mutual friends from work.
Okay.
And it was just like so painful, dude. Like I made it through the songs. I think they sounded okay.
What was going through your head at that moment? Like were you just psyching yourself out?
I just need to rock. And I think that like solo acoustic, like that was definitely a stepping stone for these songs.
Uh-huh.
But that, you know, when I write songs, since I'm a multi-instrumentalist, I usually have all the rest of the parts in my head.
Right, right.
And that was missing, and it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So shortly thereafter, I started making the record and turning them into like proper rock songs and putting my band together. And now I feel great on stage playing the songs. I don't feel super nervous.
Was there a difference between like playing in another person's band, like playing in Hebu, where all the songs are kind of written for you, the parts are kind of written for you a little bit, or you know, some of the other bands that you played in as well? You used to play with the Cayucas, right? Is that how you say that?
Cayucas.
Cayucas.
I sort of refer to the drum kit as like my shield.
Uh huh.
So
that's what I referred to that as.
Your guitar,
guitars, yeah.
I definitely feel the most comfortable behind a drum kit,
mm-hmm.
Because you know somebody can just start playing a song and I can play along, and instinctually get through the song and it sounds cool. But with guitar, I'm self-taught, and it takes a long time for me to figure out what's going on.
Sure.
So yeah. I'm still like figuring out how to be a front man and talk to the crowd. I haven't had to do that in the past.
Uh-huh.
That's like a new thing.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting better, but time is the only way that I'll end up feeling as comfortable as I do behind a drum kit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. It just takes everything takes practice, right?
Yeah.
Even talking to the crowd.
That's like the hardest part.
Right. I was talking to Sam Beam of Iron and Wine was on the show just a few episodes ago. And he was saying the same thing. Like he had a super interesting story because he basically started after getting signed to Sub Pop. Like, you know, he made a tape, right? And it worked its way around to Sub Pop. Somebody heard it there and were like, we want to sign you. But first you have to play a show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Fun
and so
fact.
He goes to a fucking punk rock club in Florida and plays a show, an acoustic show at a punk rock club, and had to kind of teach himself how to do like the banter and the, you know, being the front man of something and, you know, feel comfortable trying to be interesting.
Yeah.
Right. And that just seemed like that blew my mind because you don't really think about that, but the front person of a band totally has to do that. Right? They have to be the face of the band.
Yeah.
Totally. Which is super weird.
It is weird territory. And
yeah.
And my kind of go-to with banter so far has just been to be an idiot and make stupid jokes. And,
right, right.
You know.
That seems to be like the evolution of the front person. Like
yeah.
You start off with the lame jokes and stuff, and then they get a little bit better, and then all of a sudden you're Buzz Osborne of the Melvins, and just making nonsense up there,
or
going on a political rant.
After a while, once you've been a band for a long time,
uh-huh.
You know you have plenty of stories to tell.
Sure, sure.
So you can just revert to that. Like
yeah.
I think of a few months ago, my mom had bought tickets to the Foo Fighters at the Gorge.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up not being able to go. And me and my girlfriend went. And, you know, I'm not going to deny it. I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan. Huge Nirvana fan. Love Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And I think he's the fucking best frontman ever. There was never, like, a weird moment in the show. He, like, kept everybody engaged.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a spiritual experience, dude. Like, he had, you know, probably 30, 40,000 people singing his songs with him.
Yeah.
And I was part of that. And he would go on these, like, 10-minute rants in between songs and just keep you, like, with him the whole time. And that's what I'm striving to do, but I know it's just a matter of, like I was saying, you know, like the musical journey is just a matter of commitment and time spent
mm-hmm.
doing it.
Yeah.
And like Dave Grohl's been doing it for long enough that he doesn't have to worry about what he says on stage. Cause
when I think that's a function of him just being Dave Grohl too.
That's true.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like he may not, like, let's say his name was Terry and he lived like two houses down from here. He probably wouldn't be the most interesting dude in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But since he's fucking Dave Grohl, he played drums for one of the most, like, you know, influential bands in our history. Right. In our generation's history. Like, you know, he's Dave fucking Grohl. Like, he can say, he can get up there and go, you know, like that. And people will be like, oh my God, Dave Grohl just fucking, he just mouth farted. Oh my God. You know.
You have a good point. You know, at that level, it's like you can really do anything.
I think you get to a certain point, you could really just do anything up there. And it would, like, make a crowd of 40,000 people go crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, I mean, it was sending chills down my spine. And I think that's the reason why I play music, is that, that feeling.
Sure,
you know, it's
sure.
hard to explain, but
it is.
When you hear a good song and it gives you the chills, there's nothing else like that sensation.
Oh, yeah. No, I would totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. Like, I remember... I haven't played music with people for a long time. Like, the first time was just a couple months ago. My buddy Kevin Sir, who does the Timberfest stuff, was back here. That's actually his jazz master right there. I don't want to take credit for that thing. But
cool guitar, Kevin.
Yeah, totally. And he came over here, and I was like, dude, let's play some music. Like, I haven't played music with anybody for, like, 6 years, you know? And so he comes over, and I'm, like, super rusty, and he's just going for it. He's a much better guitar player than I am, and I'm trying to keep up with him. And I'm doing the whole, like, thing that I used to do in college where I'd be like, wait, and I'd fuck up here. And I'd, wait, you know. And then he was just like, dude, just you know, just whatever, just go for it. And we got into a little bit of a groove. And all of a sudden, it was like that feeling came back that you were just talking about, where it just sends, like, it's, you can't even really describe the feeling of playing, of getting into a groove with somebody else playing instruments. You know, it's a very, very special thing. Even if you played the song, like, over and over and over and over again, don't you feel that way? Like,
it's like another language.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And that's what's cool about it, is like everybody has kind of a different accent.
Yeah, you know? And you're operating on the same frequency.
Yeah.
Right? You're all operating on the same frequency, and when it's, like, really tight, it's the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And you can hear that, like, as a musician, like, I think musicians are more prone to hearing that in other bands, too, and, like, in music and stuff. And so that's why I really, like, I'm not saying, like, I'm some sort of, you know, fantastic musician, but when I heard your song Waiting to Start, and like the song starts out kind of quiet, kind of slow and stuff, and then you really go into it and you're playing like simple chords, but then all of a sudden you've got this part there that like goes, you know, and it was just like, oh shit, he just did that. That's some Lou Barlow shit. You need to get used to doing radio interviews. You got to turn those fuckers off, man.
God.
Whoa.
It's my girlfriend, at least.
I'm just messing with you. It's a podcast. It doesn't matter. But yeah, when I heard that, I was just like, oh,
Thank you. This guy is good. Cool, man.
This guy is good. That's good writing, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, it made me really excited when I first heard that song. And then listening to the rest of the album, I could really hear like the influences of Elliott Smith and like bands like Sebado and Sunny Day Real Estate and things like that. Like, I personally don't hear any Blink 182 in there or Hanson.
Yeah, I don't think there's much. There might be just a little like splash of it in. Uh-huh. I think the closest we would get to Blink 182 might be like the drum beat in Flower Girl.
Okay.
But when I actually tracked drums on Flower Girl and Waiting to Start, and before we hit record, I just reminded myself to hit as hard as Dave Grohl. So I think that just like cancels out the whole Blink 182 thing and brings us back to Dave Grohl and Nirvana.
There you go.
Hitting drums really hard.
There you go. So. Yeah. Have you seen that, by the way? And this episode is so full of tangents. It's insane. But, but have you seen that video of like everybody, like all those like famous drummers, like trying out Ringo Starr's drum set?
I scrolled through my Facebook wall and watched it without the sound.
Oh God, you got to listen to it, dude. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It will make you appreciate Ringo Starr on some, like, on such a different level. Like all these guys, like Dave Grohl's in there. And then, I think the dude from like, Blink 182 is in there. Or no, it's the guy. Maybe it's the guy from Green Day. I can't remember his name.
I remember seeing Trey Cool.
Yeah. And then a bunch of other Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers and some other bands. And just hearing them like talk about just like the simplest kind of beat that Ringo would do, and then them emulating it and copying it. And stuff, and just talking about how smooth it actually was, you know, because Ringo gets a lot of shit.
I think that's because of the 80s, man.
It is.
He kind of messed up a little bit. But he did. I think that what he did for the Beatles far outweighs whatever he did in the 80s, you know.
Well, and it made me think, like, what would have happened if the Beatles had, like, Ginger Baker? Like, what would have that band, it wouldn't have felt right. It wouldn't have, like, sounded right.
Yeah.
You know, with a drummer like Ginger Baker.
It's like Led Zeppelin. You can't, if anybody else is in Led Zeppelin, it's just not Led Zeppelin.
Right.
And I feel the exact same way about the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's an offshoot of the conversation, but I think you should go back and watch that video.
I will. With the sound.
With the sound on this time, will you?
Well, yeah, I was at work and I was, you know, in the bathroom and scrolling through the old Facebook wall.
That is kind of weird if you turn the sound on in the bathroom, right?
You don't want to get caught doing that. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's a couple dudes at work at my work that will just sit in there. They'll either be on the phone, which I think is really bad, poor form, you know?
That's just a dead giveaway. Like, if you're in a bathroom on the phone, whoever's on the other end of the line knows. They can hear it, right? Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody while they were in the bathroom. I don't think.
I have many times.
Yeah.
But every time I do it, they're like, dude, are you in the bathroom right now? That's weird.
Oh, no, I've never been on the receiving end of the phone call.
Because okay.
I don't know if I've ever noticed that, so I don't know. but I constantly hear people do it, and it just weirds me out.
Yeah, it's kind of weird territory,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think it's something that people don't own up to.
Right.
Like they should.
Just play Sudoku like a normal person.
Well, I think we're all doing it now, and people like to pretend that they're not. But,
and that's why you keep the sound off when you're watching videos.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So when did the trip with Ebu start? When did you get
that
involved with them?
A little more than a year ago.
Mm-hmm. So you were at Timberfest this winter.
I actually wasn't.
Oh, you weren't. Okay.
I'm kind of the, you know, I'm like a hired gun mm-hmm. for Ebu. I play the songs live with them, And I've done several tours with him, but there's been times when I can't come out. So he has like a rotation of dudes that,
sure.
that can do it.
Sure.
Which is really smart.
Yeah.
So I got hooked up with Ebu through my friend Jake Lindsay, who plays in several Seattle bands. And he met Peter like on the street somehow. He was yeah. carrying a guitar and he thought that was cool and started talking to Peter. And Peter needed a drummer. Yeah. And Jake was like, well, my friend Jay is giving me drum lessons and you should check him out. So we had a jam and we were playing like some funk song, just kind of jamming. And we were in the chorus section and then we were going to go back into the verse. And there was like a rest on the one.
Mm-hmm.
Come back in on two.
Yeah.
And somehow I just knew that that's what was going to happen.
Right.
And so we all did it together and that was like the moment, like, okay, this is cool. This is going to work. Like we can kind of read each other.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I started touring with Ebu and the second tour that we did with Ebu was opening for Cayucas on their like US tour.
Oh, really?
So that's how I got hooked up with Cayucas.
Oh, I didn't know that was more of a more recent thing.
Yeah, it was Ebu first and then Cayucas.
Okay.
They had this guy, Dave Scalia, playing drums for them on that national tour, and then he got picked up by a lady named Elle King.
Mm-hmm.
So they...
She's amazing.
She's great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave's like killing it right now.
That's awesome. He must be playing like arenas, right?
Yeah.
Isn't El King? El King's like big.
Yeah. His Instagram posts make me pretty thirsty.
Well, you're not playing it. I mean, playing with Ebu, playing with Cayucas, like those are not small shows, right?
No, they're great. Yeah. It's been like amazing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just dreaming about playing shows like that for upwards of 20 years. And now it's like kind of happening, which is cool.
So do you like being kind of a hired gun for
different bands? Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as the drums go, my goal is to just play with as many people as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And maybe someday I could be good enough to be like Kendrick Lamar's drummer. That would be kind of cool. Oof. But that's never going to happen.
That guy's amazing.
But yeah.
But I mean, those are like Ebu and Sloucher, very different styles of music. Ebu,
totally.
Very, very more pop driven, kind of ethereal, kind of chill waves, you know, whatever you want to call it. Sloucher, more just straight up rock and roll.
Yeah.
Little grungier, little bit of fuzz in there.
Some fuzz. Yep.
Love the fuzz.
A little vocal distortion.
Yeah, buddy. So it's got to be pretty cool, like being able to kind of really kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, like, you know, switch on the line.
Yeah.
You know, with different styles of music. Like, I think that's a pretty admirable trait in
Thank
a musician.
You. Thanks, man.
Yeah, because I don't think everybody can do that.
I don't think so either. And I,
yeah,
you know, it kind of like helps me keep stuff fresh.
Sure.
And it's nice to take a little break from stuff and go do other stuff. And
yeah,
I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket.
Sure. Sure.
Musically speaking.
Yeah.
And really, I would like to play with 10 bands if I could, but that's probably a little ambitious. I don't know.
Well, being a drummer, you probably could.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like a drummer is always needed.
I'm still working towards that.
Okay.
And, it's a slow, steady progression.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'll be playing drums on tour for a while. It sounds like both Ebu and Cayucas are in the process of writing new records and not touring for a while.
Oh, gotcha.
that's cool because now Slotcher's kind of happening, and and I can like really focus on that.
Yeah,
and it's been received really well.
Yeah, I saw the write up in Seattle Weekly. They really liked it.
Yeah,
people that I've talked to that have heard it have really liked it. I played it last week on a very popular podcast called TBTL because I was co-hosting that, and people seem to receive that well as well. So. Yeah, man, it's a great record. Like, what we gotta start ending things here, but what was the impetus to writing these songs? Was there anything in particular, or was it just like a bunch of ideas that you had?
It kind of, yeah. I usually write instrumentals on the guitar, and then take like 2 years to write lyrics to whatever guitar part it
is. Is that the hardest thing for you?
Yeah.
It was always the hardest thing for me.
Sloucher songs are pretty personal and straight up.
Uh-huh.
Just like recreations of life experiences that I've had.
Yeah.
And it's been quite a journey, like kind of agonizing over these 7 songs for the last 2 years, and really trying to make everything sound like exactly what I had in my head was hard. Everything took 3 times as long as you planned on it.
Yeah. But yeah,
we ended up with a pretty cool record, and it's so exciting and like refreshing that people are into it, and it's getting a little bit of attention.
It's gotta be a great feeling, man.
I feel really lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I've experienced it a little bit with this show that we're doing right here, but I had never really experienced that with any of the music that I did.
Well, I'm sorry, buddy.
Which is, I want to just say right now, fuck you guys.
Yeah, fuck you guys. What was the band called again?
The Huge.
The Huge, dude.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
That's kind of funny because there's so many bands now. So many people who can record music and put it out and never hear anything back about it. I think it's becoming the Huge.
It is becoming the Huge.
Good musicians to not get recognition.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Hashtag blessed, man. That's all. That's all I got to say.
Jay, that was great.
Thank you.
That was great.
I was going to throw a hashtag dad problems in there earlier when you were talking about not having enough time for music anymore, but
right.
I didn't want to like make you feel bad. So I think that,
thanks.
Yeah.
Hashtag thanks with a question mark. Yeah.
Hashtag you're welcome. Thanks for having me, dude.
This has been a real treat, man. Like I said, the record is amazing. You guys did a fantastic job on it. And you know, please let us know what's coming up for the future, man. Like,
most definitely.
Do you have any shows in place that are coming up right now?
Yeah.
That we need to plug?
We're playing September. I hope I get this right. We're playing September 23rd at the Redwood.
Okay.
With Soft Sleep.
Oh, yeah, with Tony's band.
Tony. Yeah, Tony and Eric.
Good dude.
And September 24th at Cheney Stadium in Tacoma.
Awesome.
With Tonic and...
Wait, the Tonic?
Yeah.
Tonic the band?
Tonic the band.
No way!
Isn't that dope?
I didn't even know they were together anymore.
Apparently they are. And
that's
we're
pretty
playing
cool.
with them on
that's
September
pretty cool,
24th.
Dude.
Vicky Martinez...
Oh, yeah.
Number 2 on The Voice 3 or 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Fame Riot, Colonies.
Fame Riot, I love them too, man.
High Energy.
Yeah.
Good show.
Yeah.
Etchings, which is a band from Tacoma, a couple of my
buddies. And this
buddies
is all
are
at
in.
Cheney Stadium? This is...
Yeah. It's our first stadium show.
Uh-huh.
We're pretty stoked.
Yeah.
I used to go to Tacoma Rainiers baseball kids as...
Yeah.
Baseball games as a kid.
Right.
So it's a pivotal moment for me.
That's great, man. That's so cool. Your parents going to go?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then I think, what else do we have going? October 15th, we're doing a live video session on KEXP with Sean Nelson.
Nice.
Which I'm super excited and pretty nervous about, but yeah. I think it's going to be cool.
Don't be nervous. Sean's a good dude.
Well, he loves it, so
yeah.
That's like
yeah.
automatic less nervousness. And then I think the only show after that we have booked is December 18th, I want to say, at Numo's, the Love Benefit Show.
Awesome. Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for coming on, dude. And we can follow you guys on Facebook. Do you have a proper website, or is that still forthcoming?
We don't have a real website. I've just been telling people that our website is our Bandcamp.
There you go.
Which is where you can buy our record and
awesome.
Listen to the songs to check it out beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll have links to all that stuff. Jay, thank you so much for coming on the show, dude. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you have a good time?
I loved it. It was great. It was my first.
See, people can't see you smile at home like that. That sounded like meh.
Well, I'm smiling right now. Yeah, this is my first in person interview. We've done a few like email uh-huh. interviews, and it gives me maybe too much time to think about what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And I'd probably give myself like a B+ today.
I think you did pretty good.
I think I did all right.
Good.
Yeah.
This is a good first try.
Thanks, man.
Good first try. Solid.
Appreciate it.
I give you an A.
Thank you.
Maybe an A minus. Thanks,
Jay. All right. Well, I think my parents would be happy with that.
Finally, an A. Jay Clancy of Sloucher joining us there. What a fantastic dude and a extremely, extremely talented individual, man. You've heard me say this before. I am always extremely impressed by people who can play multiple instruments because I have tried and I have failed. You know what? Maybe I've just never put the time in. That just crossed my mind. Maybe I'm just bad at actually practicing. That could be part of it. Thank you to Jay Clancy for coming on the show. We had a great time talking with you, buddy. You can find out more about Sloucher, the band, at swoonrecords.com. You can also go to their Bandcamp site, which is sloucherband.bandcamp.com, and find them on Facebook. And please do follow them on Facebook. That means a lot to bands, man. It means a lot to people who are doing podcasts as well. Go on to Facebook and give Sloucher a follow, and that way you can kind of keep up on where they're going to be at upcoming events and upcoming tours and things of that nature, okay? Yeah. All right. Oh, my God. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Even though we're going away, we still like to see those ratings, people. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, and Cairo Radio apps, and now on Google Play. Find us there as well, or just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheAirRaid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet. You can follow us there, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And, you know, remember to take the pledge. Take the pledge to tell somebody about the show. Even though we're going away, the podcast will stay on the web indefinitely, okay? We're going to keep everything up, man, because, you know, I want to keep people listening to this thing, new listeners. That's great. That's great. Come and check it out. Come one, come all, right? Tell people about it, man. We still want you to spread the word. We still want people to find out about these awesome, awesome artists around Seattle and around the world. So there you go. Let's see. Also, get your emails in if you'd like to tell us a memory that you have of the Air Raid podcast, or just a nice thing, or even, you know, something that you just hate and that you're glad that is now going away. You can email me at aaron@air-raid.net. Or if you have a question or anything like that. I am holding a burp in. That's what that is, what that sound is. Okay? Having some massive heartburn. Okay. All right. Okay, everybody, we're ending the show. We're ending the episode. Let's see. Let's go out today, this week, with another song off of Certainty by Sloucher on Swoon Records. Available now. Please go to swoonrecords.com and check that out. Get yourself a copy. This one's called Waiting to Start, and we'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guests, the Coat Hangers. All right? Okay. All right. Sloucher, Waiting to Start. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, everybody. We love you. Bye-bye.